Parashas Va'eira. Moshe Rabbeinu comes, Klal Yisrael tells them about they're going to be going out. Then all the, this is the end of Parashat Shmos, they're going to be going out of Mitzrayim. Then he shows them some signs, and then he goes to Paro, and Paro makes it even harder. Mi Hashem Hashem V'Koyloi. Who's Hashem and listen to him? Stam, Moshe, I don't want to invite you from the Avodah to work and doing your work. Get back to your work. I'm going to make it even harder. And he makes it harder. Klaisha complains to Moshe. And Moshe goes back to Hashem. And that's how we find ourselves at the beginning of Parashat Va'eira. So Moshe Rabbeinu tries to mechazit them again. Gaman Kimos is Prisi, and Moshe tells him the foolish ones, I'm gonna go, I'm gonna go out. Hashem gives him over this whole speech to tell them. The Pasuk says, Well, Shomal Moshe Mikoitza Ruach may avoid the Koshni, they're not gonna listen to them. They can't listen to Moshe. Koitza Ruach, as Rashi says, Koitza Ruach. Breathing short, they have short of breath. Rashi explains that when a person has worries, he's mamish in stress. So they breathe, his breath, his breathing becomes shortened. And only for the kosher, they couldn't hear listen to Moshe anymore. So Moshe goes to Paro now, and tell him to send him out. So Moshe has this interesting one, but you have a Moshe thing, I don't know anymore. Hey, Bnei Yisrael, Shomu Eli, behold, Bnei Yisrael did not listen to me. The Eich Yishmeini Faro, Ivani Aral Sfasayim. How is Pai going to listen to me if Pai still didn't listen to me? The Ani Aras Masayim. So the Chordah, and the Gemara says, what I'll say on this, Rashi brings from Chazal, the Echor Me'asura Kalvachoymes, is a Kalvachoyma. But if Pai still didn't listen to me, he's a Kalvachoyma. How is Pai going to listen to me? Is the Chordah, the Farshim asks, it's a Poshuk Kasha before this is a Chor, everybody asked the Kasha. Although the Poshuk said just my mom is one Poshuk before. And the reason why Klal Yisrael didn't listen to them was Koitzer Ruach HaMavoy the Kasha. They had back-breaking word. What is Perach? They were being mamish slave labor. They were being beaten. They were doing the most gruesome and the most disgusting work. Such tedious and such hard work. They were mamish dying from this work. And that's what didn't listen. The Eich Yishmeini Faro, if I need a Rav Sussan, so how is Paro going to listen to me? What's the Kal V'Chaimer, Rav Sussan? He just said it and listened. So someone will say, it says, I need Rav Sussan. So Moshe thought they didn't listen because of Rav Sussan. And they didn't listen, so Paro's not going to listen either. But the Chor, it needs beer. Because Hashem said they didn't listen. So he won't say, they didn't tell Moshe that. Says he didn't listen, but that much didn't listen, he prayed to the kosher. So we know why he didn't listen. There's the Esh Tashay. The Maisa, you have to understand another thing in this week's parasha. Everybody knows, you saw it, famous. Who doesn't know about the Esser Makis? Everybody listened to Uncle Moshe's tapes when they were young. They know about the Esser Makis. What are they? Promise we stay with that thing. Havana. because it's a big mistake. That's in the kashis by Pasha. Why did that's and we need all these markers? About it came out. The Lamaisa power did listen, didn't listen. The Kosh Bar could have made it even stronger. They would have given in and gansin. What was the need of all the Esser markers? Also, the split up the Tzach, Adash, Ba'achav, of Yehuda, Hayanusim, Besimon, we make a big thing on both sides. I don't know if we spill out the wine one time, we gotta do it again with the Tzach, Adash. Everybody said, if you don't have Yehuda, Besimon, the Tzach, Adash, Ba'achav, very nice. Let's pass the eggs. We gotta get move on with the Seder. And everybody dips in and we move on. Very nice. And let's mamish. Looks like goyness from Yehuda. Yehuda, I know you're basically modern, right? Well, like, I mean, some people are oyman, but what's going on? What's with Yehuda? It's the big chesh of Yehuda. He gave simonim to it. Like a whole thing on the Seder. Yehuda, I know you're basically modern. Tzach, Adash, Barachah. Very nice. So what are we supposed to do now? I mean, like, right now. He made a simon for it. Like, it's out of time. We're talking about Rabbi Yehuda, we're not talking about Stalin, but there's obviously some meaning to it, but stuff. The big kasha also, Rabbi said, obviously in the sugya, is okay. I mean, once we asked the kasha one way, but the kasha is also, what's the pshat? The power didn't listen after so many markers. Rabbi said, it's like a pelos. We'll see later on. The markers, we go through the markers a little bit. Rabbi said, the etzem, everybody should do it. Rabbi said, not only because of Seder night, we have to do it, you know, to impress the baba. Say a good word, you know, on the day, you know, on Seder night, to show that we were learning in yeshiva this whole year, even though we might have not been learning, but we want to improve, you know, we have to impress the baba. You know, say over a nice board on the Seder to 10 minutes before the Seder, you take out some book, you know, that tells you over a nice board on the markers of Boisa. But the Maisa, it's a big mistake. Because the etz, if you look into the markers, the ik, the yisoidim, Rabbi Yisrael, you look at the markers, the yisoidim, there's so much, Rabbi Yisrael, there's so much, Baruch Hashem, there's so much swarm here to out today, but there's so much each marker, Rabbi Yisrael, what the marker came for, what the marker was about, what was the midah connected midah, because in every marker there was midah connected midah, Rabbi Yisrael. If you look through the Midrashim say, it was midah connected midah, every marker was, as they got paid back. Markers dam, different things. Well, why with me? The connect me though. They. What's it called? They made Klal Yisrael. Vatel from Torah was destroyed. Mayim, their mayim was destroyed. Klal Yisrael have food. They helped throw the yid into the yor. Into the Mayim, to Mela, they spilled the blood of Klal Yisrael, so Mela, everything turned to blood. Many different in your name, of course, it was me that connected me to the Bosa. It's important to know that they put Klal Yisrael to draw water all day for nothing, didn't get paid for it. Now, how they had to pay? Is every marker was midah connected midah of us? They go through the markers, you go through each one in the midrashim, and they say, what was the midah connected midah? Every marker. And you saw it, Rabbi Yisai. If you go into the markers, Ba'am Kusam, Rabbi Yisai. It's the chapela otzim, the paroi. Every tractor, Rabbi Yisai. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. You'll tell me, no problem, Rabbi. We all know Hashem hardened Paro's heart. He hardened it. You know, he gave a lot of cholesterol, and he hardened it. What does that mean, he hardened it? First of all, it's a mistake, because in a lot of places, much more only the last five markets. On the base of Levi, says Pshat also, that he sort of, oh no, it wasn't that he took away his Bechira. The Pshat is that since the Nisoyim was so easy to give in, So Lamaizi, he gave him a little bit of a... But Lamaizi, end of the day, logically, it doesn't make sense, Rabbi Yisrael. We understand what was Lamaizi, Makis Dam, Rabbi Yisrael. Just take Makis Dam for a little bit, Rabbi Yisrael. Shabbat Ocham to warn them, me for a very nice savior, was him at Ami Shulchan, when the Rebbein, Shariachai, or Shiva over there put out, very, very serious, the Lamaizi, he goes through the Makis, Api, there's a lot of swarm out there, but Lamaizi, to understand the Makis, Rabbi Yisrael, to know what's going on, but it's like, all of a sudden, Yod Moshe says, he warns him, and he comes to the Yor one day, which Paro worshipped as it died, Mitzrayim worshipped as a god, and he comes and he's Makkah the Yor. He puts a stick on it, and the Yor turns to blood, and I say, everything is blood. There's blood all over the place, Rabbi Yisrael. Not only Rabbi Yisrael, was there blood just in the Yor? Anyway, the guy went to take a nice shower in his caravan, and there he is. He puts on the way, gets his ivory soap. He's all there. He has his scratch, back scratcher, and he has his soap all ready. His special six pack of shampoos he has laid out. Rabbi Yisrael, I'm just gonna need one for he has his conditioner and this. And that. I never knew, Bochum used conditioner until he came to this generation. Four different shampoos out there. And whatever it is, and soap and shampoo and liquid soap and this. The kid says he brings all his stuff out with his soaps and everything. He comes in to take a shower, and straight there it is, you don't need no new shampoo called Red Zanger. It's coming right out of the shower. Out of the shower comes blood, and the blood, you could have a shampoo and pour blood, but it's made thicker. And also he's taking a shower. And he looks at his hands, Rabbi Yisrael, and it's all bloody. Mamish red from Dam. But that's not only that, Rabbi Yisrael. So he runs out of the shower. Mamish, you can't take a shower, it's bloody. Mamish first has a smell. It's a bloody shower. He runs out of the shower and he tries to take a bath. He goes into the bath, blood. He goes into the refrigerator and he wants to take a nice glass of orange juice. Bloody Mary! Come down! He never understood. So he takes out from the thing, bloody mamish, it's all blood. He goes to the sink, it's blood. He starts to spit. His saliva turned to blood. He takes an apple. Come on, nice juicy apple. It's a green apple, not red. And there he bites into the apple, and the juices come out of the apple, blood. He goes to eat meat, blood. He has a chicken sandwich. No ketchup for me. Blood. Everything was turning to blood, boys. You can imagine the scene, boys. They couldn't drink, and the people he has kids laying at home. Tati, I need some water. Tati, I need some water. Nothing. They're trying to dig. They're trying to find. They notice that if they go to a Jew, they notice that the Jews, though, they walk by the Jew's house, the Jewish area, and then he's drinking Me'edin. The May ate him with a straw inside. And the Mitzri sitting there on his knees. Please. Please, I know it wasn't good to you. Just give me a little sip, a little drink. I won't even take the whole thing. I'll put my straw inside. Or maybe, just give me a little drink. Pour me out. No promises to Jew. I'll pour you out some. He takes a little cup. Thank you so much. And he doesn't have a cup. He's starving from something. That's so thirsty. He cups his hands together. And he pours out the water. And in space. Look, magician! He pours out the water, the May Aiden, and in air, all of a sudden it gets to the hand of the Mitzri, blood. Okay, it won't work this way. I have it, he pulls out from his pocket a straw, and he puts it inside the cup, the May Aiden of the Jew. He says, we'll drink together. And they're drinking together, and the Yitzri, wow, this is quenching. And the Yitzri drinks up, well, at least now, comes up into his straw, blood. The Mitzri's going crazy. He has no Eitzah. He says, here, I'll pay you for it. Maybe if I pay for it, they start to pay for it. They see one note and they notice one thing. When they start to pay for it, then it stays water. So the Mitzri comes, and the Yid comes to dinner, and he comes over, and he says, shek a cup! Shek a cup! Starts with a shek a cup. He calls Dinowitz. What's the right? Dinowitz. He says, a shek a cup. And he says, but then they see the material going crazy. He says, 2 shekel cup, 3 shekel. Meanwhile, they're paying 10 shekel, not for a bottle of Mayade, for 1 cup of water. But they need water for showering, and they need water for cooking, and they need water for mamish, and they're giving up rolling it in. Have any water? You have any water? A little bit water? And it's like, you know, one of these, what's it called? Black markets for water, also, and so like that. And these mitzvahs are going out of their kelim, my boy's side. Mamish, all they see is the slaughter. They go, let's get some fish at least. All the fish die. No fish, no sushi! In Egypt, my boy's side. So only was a kosher sushi restaurant. That's all you can get. You don't get kosher sushi. Even that you couldn't get because they all died. There was no fish, but no sushi. No sushi restaurants were open during that week. Some said it was for 3 weeks. Can you imagine, boys, they had blood all over the place? The sight of blood disgusts you, boys. Can you imagine what's going on in Mitzrayim? The kid got a cut. They didn't even notice it. The guy started, the kid was crying. All of a sudden, there's blood coming out of his eyes. Mama's blood, the tears turned to blood. He blew his nose. You must have a bloody nose. Who punched you in the nose? Was that Jew guy again? Mama's blood out of the nose, blood everywhere, every place. It was like for a week straight, wherever you go, in the showers, and the thing. Boy said, he called, take it away, take it away. So Moshe takes it away, and Paro says, okay, we're keeping you again. What is he, out of his tailor? What is he, nuts? How could it be, Rabbi Yitzchak? So Moshe comes and says, you know what? If you don't let them go now, we're bringing the frogs, Rabbi Yitzchak. The army of the frogs are coming. Frogs everywhere, Rabbi Yitzchak. You don't understand, they lock their doors. Frogs, says the Medrash, frogs asked the tefillah from Hashem, and they went through, these rich people had mamish. They had mamish, unbelievable. These rich people had mamish, beautiful floors. And the Maya said, the floor opened up. The floor opened up. Because of the frogs, the floor opened up, and the frogs came jumping out of the floor, of Oisat. And Paro was sitting there trying to talk, and the frogs would go into his nostrils, and they would come out of his mouth. They would go into his body parts, his Nikovim, and it would come out of his mouth, Rabbi Yitzchak. Mamish everywhere. The woman would go to bake a nice cake, a nice for Einik Shabbos, a beautiful cake. Out of the cake, it was not a strawberry frog, it was a strawberry frog cake. Everywhere there were frogs, Rabbi Yitzchak. Imagine that strawberry, just with frogs everywhere. The live frogs croaking. They get into their beds, Rabbi Yitzchak. They went to lie down. There was hundreds of thousands. A guy wants to go to sleep. He's late. But Hashem, he's up learning about his measure or doing other things, whatever it was. But he comes to go to take a little nap. He lies down. There's not just 10 frogs. Hundreds of frogs on his bed, Rabbi Yitzchak. They say one of the biggest things that the noise was added. Paro didn't go crazy so much with the frog. He couldn't take the noise, Rabbi Yitzchak. You know what that noise is. You know, we come back here something on Thursday night, 4 o'clock, you know, in the morning. That's that noise. But otherwise, you couldn't take that noise, Rabbi Yitzchak. The noise was amazing, but the guy wants to take a nap. He's exhausted. He's going days. He can't sleep. He goes to take a nap. No brain, Rabbi Yitzchak. You got to lie down on the frogs. New clever bed, frog bed. No water bed, a frog bed. And not that they're not all even, and they're popping up, Rabbi Yitzchak. No matter which part of your back. Now, the guy's saying, Yeshiva's mattress. Try a frog mattress, Rabbi Yitzchak. Bumping up and down all over and screaming. They were yelling and croaking all the time, Rabbi Yitzchak, in the ears. Can you imagine the feeling, Rabbi Yitzchak? Imagine the... And Mamish, you talk about a headache, Rabbi Yitzchak. The head could come off from such noise. And they were going into the food, and into the ovens. They must have known they went to the ovens. The guy baked the cake, they would fly out of the ovens. And they were going into everything, everywhere where the guy went, into the bathroom, wherever he came out, there were frogs and thousands of Baisan. They could go crazy. And he begged, he called back, Moshe, please, Davin. Please, Davin, they should go away. When they should go away? Good tomorrow, Lamocha. No problem, tomorrow they'll go away. Moshe, Davin, did they go away? He's got him, Moshe said, Nachamu. I was back again, not letting them go. What is he, out of his mind? And then Oroi, Rabbi Yitzchak, Oroi, you can't imagine what Oroi was, Rabbi Yitzchak. Oroi was all the different animals in the world, that Shaykh of the world would come. And Chazal say, well, they came with their environment. You had a polar bear who only can exist in mamish freezing weather. There he was, and there was icicles around him. Next to him was the snake, could only survive in mamish climate, a hot climate. And there is the snake, and they're working together. And the snake is biting on the foot, and the poison's going on. He's running towards them, and there he gets smacked in the face by the bear, and the lion's waiting, finished the job, tear off the head. It's mamish unbelievable. And then they have kinim, Rabbi said, kinim, and kinim, where they, mamish were bitten up all the time by these kinim. Mamish all over the place, and they had boils also. Devev. Shchin, with the boils all over the back of us. You don't understand what the boils were, they were all over their bodies. Imagine one guy, one pimple, he's 7 hours popping the pimple in the mirror, until he squirts out all that blood. But anyway, but then he's with the boils all over the back. They're mixing with boils, shchin, all over their bodies, on their faces, on their noses. But the worst was in the back, everybody said. You ever have a pimple on your back? How do you do it? You can't scratch. So they had to get a guy to scratch that guy's back. Muhammad was scratching Ahmad's back. But Muhammad also had. She had a picture of the scene. He's so looking back. Everybody's scratching the guy's back. You scratch over here, scratch over there. Scratch me over here. Scratch. They're lined up one after the next. Thousands of them. Everybody's scratching each other. It was from a comedy scene. You would see these guys scratching here, scratching there. Everybody's scratching each other's backs. And he saw us walking by laughing. And a comedy, and mamish, and you're talking about mamish. You're talking about for days, for weeks. Some hold 3 weeks to play class, and one week, some hold 1 week, but 3 weeks of us. We go one day. They shut off the water here for 2 hours. We're in a storm. What's going on, Rebbe? I want my money back. I'm paying tuition. 2 hours. They shut off the water. What's going on? We can't exist. There's no water for 25 minutes, mamish. I can't take a shower. Blood coming out of the water. Weeks, frogs, everything. And Paro is adamant, no, not giving in. What's the pshat of us? But the Maisa, as we said, Rabbi Say, it's so chush, Rabbi Say, especially these weeks, Rabbi Say, to be oimin on it. They say that the Dole Oilam, as they say from the Chofetz Chaim, was very, very into doing this stuff, Rabbi Yisrael. Also, the Matar, to think about what went on. To think about the Makas, to go through each Makas, to go through exactly what went on, and to picture it. Picture it, Lamaisa. Because the picture brings about a certain type of reality to a person, and he visualizes it. It becomes a different feeling. There are books today that Baruch Hashem also that they visualize, they show you a picture of it, you see it, it has so much more of an effect on them. And the Dormish Milariah Chazal tells us. But to visualize it, to imagine, they say many stories that Chofetz Chaim used to spend hours visualizing, going, they say over the Maisa that there was once they heard the Chofetz Chaim cracking up. And the Maisa, he was much laughing, and so one of his sons, who was Mishad, would walk by and I was just picturing, Mom was this, I was just picturing the Mak of Shechin, what was going on in Mitzrayim. God was itching, wake up all night, they were itching, God, can you, in the middle of the night, he has the itching, you know, his back, he has to call, wake up the neighbor, I wake up this guy, starts scratching him, and they were going out of their cave. And yet, continue with his power, doesn't give in. What's the pshat? I talk. So stark is the yisoid of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Rabbi Yisrael. We know it's the main mitzvah. Even though we have a lot of mitzvahs, the main mitzvah, the night of Pesach, Pesvov, mitzvah da'aseh da'oraisa, the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Rabbi Yisrael. The Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is an amazing God, Rabbi Yisrael. Don't give us the koyach of it, the Imam Tana. In Maimon Meir Kesita Siman Ayin Vav writes, the Koyach HaOtzim Sheyesh B'Limud Parshas Eilu Akrid Gam Es Hayelad Gam Im Hayelad Yosem Min Aderech V'Yazov Mekor Mayim Chayim. If Chas V'Shalom, even a person has a child that will go off V'Yagia La'an She'Yagia B'Chozo Sipu Yitzis Mitzrayim She'Shoma Mihoirav Yo'oirav V'Asa Nekuda Yehudus V'Soy V'Shotal. He'll come home. The Koyach, that's what the Rami Pano writes. That's how chosh. That's the mantis. That's why it's such a bigara to levincha. We say in this week's parasha, bigara to levincha. Rami Panu says that the koyach from Sibur Yitzir's Mitzrayim has a koyach to change, to transmit such a message that we have the koyach to bring a child back. If he's infused, ingrained with this story from a young age in the right way, it can bring him back. The koyach of Amunah Hashem. Ramami Pano has a riot to this. Is he saw his mabez? Who's the riot from Rabbi Yisai? Not the Yugavasa Rebbe, not some person from Moshe Rabbeinu up to Ramami Pano. The Gemara in Bava Basra Kuftes is an unbelievable chzach, Rabbi Yisai. Ben Binoy of Moshe Rabbeinu was called Yoinason Ben Gershon. The grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu was named Yoinason. He was the son of Gershon. Gershon was the son of Moshe. The Gemara says that he was Sorim in Aderech. Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson went off to Derech. That's what the Gemara in Bava Basra Kuftes. The Kitzur, he says because he heard certain things from Moshe Rabbeinu, and he went off. Chazal say he was not only went off, he became a Koimer Lavad Zorah, he became a priest. L'maisa v'soif yomov he was Choyze. Soif yom he was Choyze. Zokhtim Ramami Panoi. What was the koyach? To be Machzeh Yoinason Ben Gershon's grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu. Zokhtim, the Sipo Yetzir's Mitzrayim, that he heard from his grandfather, the first Sipo Mitzrayim that ever took place. The first Sipo Yetzir's Mitzrayim was by Moshe Rabbeinu, we know the voice of the Belzer Rebbe, says that Moshe Rabbeinu, Oymen and Nekuda Amitis, unbelievable Zach. Who was the first Sibis Yisrael man of all clients? You know who it was? Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu's children were the only children that wanted him. Everybody's experienced. He didn't have to have Sibis Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu's children weren't there. Because if you know the story, we'll learn later on. Moshe Rabbeinu came back with Tzipor and his children. Aaron met them. And he says, I'll be sure Aaron had started. We're worried about the first one. Why are you bringing back these children? Everybody back to Mitzrayim now. We have enough people in Mitzrayim. So he sent them back. When did they join up? Only in the Midbar. Everybody else experienced it. They didn't need a Sipur Yetzir's any experience. Moshe Rabbeinu had to give over the story to his children, his grandchildren. Nimsa Moshe Rabbeinu was the first one who was Mesaper the Sipur Yetzir's Mitzrayim. He was Mesaper to his children and also to his grandchildren. So to Ramami Panoi, that koyach of Sibur Yetzir's Mitzrayim is the koyach to Marsa. And the Yisoid HaDvorim is basic, Rabbi Yisai. Yetzir's Mitzrayim, if you're able to be mamchish and understand it, what one went through. Ma'asorah Ma'amoros Nivra Oilam, says Chazal. The world was created with 10 sayings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The tachos of the Sarah Ma'amoros, the creation of the world was to lead to the Aseres HaDivrois, the 10 Aseres HaDivrois. That we should mekayim the Torah, the world was created for Torah. And therefore the Aseres HaMamorois, 10 sayings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, connected the Aseres HaDivrois. But what was the thing that brought us, what was the thing that made us committed to do the Aseres HaDivrois, that was Aseres HaMakos. The Aseres HaMakos was the vehicle through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped us to mishabit ourselves when we saw the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was that he was showing Paro in all of Klal Yisrael. As we mentioned before, the chiddush of those makis, and the Rebbe's chiddush of the simonim was not just tam. He gave simonim to break it up for us. El yisoid aboisai, we were in the pesukim aboisai. We see in the pesukim there were three different areas Hashem was trying to prove in the Yetzias Mitzrayim aboisai. Three different yisoid aboisai amuna that Hashem was trying to prove. The Yisoidos of Hashem was showing was The Metzias Hashem, first of all, Hashem is the Metzias, there's someone called Hashem who's in charge of the world, his Metzias in the world. To take away from Paro's mistake, that Paro said he's a deity himself, Li Oiri. There's a Bnei Hashem in the world, wake up. That's why they all came from the Yam, the first three. The next, Ki Ein Kamoni B'chol HaOrez, the Pasuk says, the Hashkocha Pratis, as we saw Mabdikim, Makas Oroi. And the last, the Yecholos of Hashem, of things that are that beyond the imagination of a person. That there's no vul to Hashem's koyach. That's called Magi Foysai, says the Inbora, it was all Magi Hashem Shor, he put all things together, it was spirits. Okay, there's a Marcus Adam, but Borod was not Shayach, Rabbi said Borod. The Mark of Borod was not Shayach. Borod, Arbe, Marcus Bechoyres, those are Marcus that weren't Shayach, Rabbi said, that was never seen ever in the history and will never be in the history of the world. They were Marcus that chose the Yechoyos of Hashem. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. This Shema Yisrael here, Christ will know Hashem. He's the Matthias of Abraham in the world. He is the only God. No one else. Elokeinu, Hashkoch HaPratis. Hashem Echad, Umiyuchad. There's no one like the Kodesh Baruch. The Makkas were going to show it without any shadow of a doubt, in every possible way. In every single vantage, in every single way, on the ground, from the sea, in the land, from the sky, from every possible vantage point, there's no one but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it was there to show them, and to see it, and to visualize it, and to know it. The tachlis of emunah v'yisai is not just to know it. Many people know it. Many people have what's called emunah sichlis. They understand it's right. You go out in the world, you see a tree, how it arrived, you have certain emunah. But there's emunah chushis and emunah maisis. To live a life that represents that you understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. That everything that happens in the world is Ritzono Yisborach. To live with Amun HaKadosh. There's Amun HaKadosh. There's Amun HaKadosh. You believe it like it's real. Is it real by you? Or is it only a belief? Amun in order to have to reach an Emes Hadarga of Amun HaKadosh, it has to be real. It has to be something that's tangible by you, not just something that you believe. The Chazanish says that's called bitachon. The tzaddik ve'amunos yichya, living with the amuna, living the amuna, being real about it, truly, truly believing 100% in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That yisoid of Boisai is what is the tachlis in this bria. V'yadat hayoy, to know it. Bring it down to your tzaynos. Bring it down to your heart. Bring it down to your life. Live that there's a bari olam in the world is running the show. And that was the tafkid and tachlis of all the makas tzis mitzrayim, that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of, and we live that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. Because we saw it in the Maisa. It's not just a belief, they saw it in the Maisa. It was something that's tangible. Not Amun HaSchushis, the Sichlis, Amun HaChushis. Tangible. We can touch it. We see. There's the Oroi. There's the Dam. We saw it 100%. Until it came to the climax with Tzias Mitzrayim of Kriyas Yom Tov, said, Keili Van Veil. They pointed little babies. There's the Ribbono Shel Olam. That was the tafkid of Tzias Mitzrayim. To teach Klal Yisrael and the world at large, especially Paro and Mitzrayim, that there is no one in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the other Muvado, he is totally in charge. How you thought you're a deity? There's only one deity, the first Makkas. The deity they believed in the Ya'ar showed, Paro had the Makkas, showed the Ya'ar got locked up. Showed that the Ya'ar has no Koyach. Kodesh Baruch Hu is in charge of the Yor. They worship the Yor. They worship the Nile River. Hashem took that away, showing it only brings plagues. Making money b'chol ha'aretz, running around on the ground. I'm in charge. Hashkocha brought this. And ain on mivadoi. After Zulah, so there's no power in the world. Hashem is limitless. There's no limit to Hashem's power. He could do anything he wants. Makas b'chayra, all of a sudden firstborns died. There's no, why the firstborn? Why daf each firstborn? Every single step of the way, it was a limud. And a limud, not just in learning. You learn something, you also have a limud. It was a limud l'maisa, chushis, real, 100% before your eyes, the Rebbeinu Shlom showing you, I run the show. Now, why would a person believe? After seeing all this stuff, after seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking over, after seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha Pratis, the Shiur Hashem was in charge, you had a nation under your hands, you were controlling them, they were licking the dirt, they were being beaten up, you were totally controlled here, they're coming around, they're walking around freely, they're laughing at you, they're taking your money, they're taking your stuff, and you have nothing to do about it. You, who said you're in charge, you walked around making people worship you, you are lowered down to a nothing. Why can't you believe still? The answer is a boisad. Because a person has what's called ritzoinos. A person has desires. He has a lifestyle. He has a way of life that he wants to live. And he doesn't want to hear his ritzoinos. Don't let him. It blocks. It comes to a stop over there when it gets down. It's in the mind. I see it. It makes sense till here, till the heart. Above the head, it makes 100%. But till it gets going down to the heart and I have to change what I want to do, I have to serve as somebody else, I have to change my lifestyle, person doesn't like to change. You could prove it to him. You could show it in his face. You can mamish give all the proofs of the world. I still don't believe. Of course you don't believe. Because if you believe, that means you got to change your life. You've got to stop doing this. You got to stop doing that. So it's much easier to say, to go out and make, say, burp, and say, I don't believe. It doesn't make so much sense to me. Of course it can't make sense to you, because you don't want in your heart to change. You want to live the way you want to be. You don't want to become the Eved Hashem. You don't want to do what Hashem wants. You want to do what I want. Paro had an empire. He had everything. He felt that losing Klal Yisrael, losing this whole shlita, it would be over. I can't believe, because the whole fallacy, he not only believed he had that, he was looked up as a good deity. They were worshipping him. I mean, he was on the way down, he used to go down early in the morning, by his side, to go to the bathroom, early in the morning. Why did he do that for? Because he wanted to show, you know, it was the one, people started talking, this man's amazing. He eats, he drinks, he never used the bathroom. The boy said they didn't have to go to Eliezer. There was no toilet paper in the palace. They didn't need it. The one was bothering Eli in the palace. The menial of the palace wasn't bothered. No toilet paper today. No problem. We don't need toilet paper in the palace. He don't use the john. What did he do? He got up early in the morning and he went out, the boy said, to the yard. And he would go there and he would relieve himself. And somehow he trained his body to do it that way. And then we'd have to go the whole day. Moshe Rabbeinu came down to meet him one day, Rabbi Sai, to warn him. And he's been holding it in for 24 hours. A little bit of a problem. Moshe, get on with it! If you don't want to have a shower, Moshe Rabbeinu, you better get on with it! And he's sitting there. But the Maisa, he convinced himself, this man who almost, you know, whatever it is, made in his pants by Moshe Rabbeinu, he convinced himself that he's a G-d. And because of that, he couldn't give that up. He was not just a leader, he was looked on as a... So he's going to now give up everything? Yeah, 100%. I saw blood in my own eye. Frogs came out of his mouth. He was itching away. Put on Vaseline, he was using preparation, whatever he was using to help him out. He had it all over his body. But I can't give in. My whole lifestyle has to change. Everything has to change. I'm ready to change. You tell a story of Isai, of a person, of the a bunch of chayalim that were went, you know, did that chal. You finish the army here in Israel. So after you finish, you go on a teal, you go on a, you know, expedition. And l'maisa, these chayalim, you know, go out to the mamish, the far east, the far west, the very place that you never heard of. All they have there is Coca-Cola and Chabad. It's not funny of us. And some of these guys come back, the mountain of Tibet, somehow there's a Chabad shliach over there. I don't know how he got there, but it's not. He had to be lowered in some type of a special plane to get him. They lowered him down to some far, you know, this guy, you know, like, he's looking for a minion in the African jungle, you know? The Aborigines over there, he's looking for a minion over there. He said, I found two Chabad shliach, you know? It's like, you know, you can go anywhere in the world, get a Chabad, you know, get some kosher food at the Chabad center. But anyway, so these guys went out to some on Tibet somewhere, and they're sitting there, they're talking until late in the night. All of a sudden, a snake comes in. They find they were sitting in one of these tents somewhere way out. A snake comes in. All right, the snake wraps itself around boa constrictor. The way they were, these giant snakes and these African jungle, wherever it was, or wherever it was in Tibet, wherever it was, these things wrapped themselves. They're big. Big giant snakes, really heavy pound snakes. They don't kill by poisoning, by bite. They wrap themselves around you and they suffocate you. They're so heavy and so bad. So one of these guys all of a sudden got wrapped by a boa constrictor. The whole group of Israeli guys were mamish like petrified. And they didn't know what to do. They're yelling. All of a sudden, this guy was mamish not coming at all. He put his hand on his head, whatever he was. He yelled, Shema Yisrael. He screamed out with all his might. The depths of his heart. All of a sudden, the boa constrictor rattles, got excited, he moved and ran off. And everybody there was like flabbergasted. How do you know this story? One of the rabbonim in Eretz Yisrael was going into a camp one day, and he was with a taxi driver. You know, the taxi drivers with the, you know, the chest is open, he was smoking, you know, 16 cigarettes over there. And he was listening to his, you know, has his two phones going. And he's, you know, one head on the wheel and one eye on the back of the wheel, on the back. And he's driving safely at 200 kilometers an hour down the, you know, Jerusalem highway. And he's telling the story while he's looking. And he says, you know what, maybe you can tell the story looking that way. But anyway, he's telling the story the whole time. And he's telling this Rav the story. And the Rav came and said, this happened, with, you know. So he said, this happened to my friend. And his mama, he's telling the Rav, you don't believe today, my friend, you won't believe, says this guy, you won't believe my friend today, he's a Haredi family, he lives somewhere in, who knows, Meir Sharim somewhere, he learns all day, ever since that story he came back, he did tshuva, he's mamish, unbelievable, he married a bala tshuva, they have a beautiful family, kids. So Rav's looking at this guy. You were here? Yeah. So, what? Where's your kippah? With something? So the guy looks at him and says, Lo karali. Didn't happen to me. You saw a miracle in front of the guy screamed Shema Yisrael. He was about to be suffocated. It didn't happen to me. You were there. What's the answer behind those words of Isaiah? Everybody probably says, yeah, but if Hashem would come to me in person and tell me, baloney. Even if Hashem would come to you, even if nace happens to you, how many people had nace happen to them? They're driving the highway, car things, and they were saved, they're driving in the middle of the night, and they swerved, and mamish, it's a nace, they'll tell you it was a nace, no way I could have served, the cars are here, and cars are there, and I somehow made it to the side of the road. That was, and I, you know, and I was thinking, Hashem, help me, and so what happened the next day? I couldn't get up the shower. I was in trauma. I couldn't get up the shower. I had a headache from banging my head on the car wheel. I couldn't get up the shower. But you just screamed out Hashem. What happened? Teretz is, you're lazy. You don't. You haven't rotten to sleep. You don't want to change that. So everything's Hashem. Holds on, it's in the head. But I have to come to the heart where you're rotten on. It stops there. But like Shomu El Moshe, Mikoytza Ruach HaMeavoy, the Kosher voice that comes out loud now. They didn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. You know why? Mikoytzen Ruach. their backbreaking work. It was hard. But they wanted to change. But since they had a deterrent, what was their deterrent? The deterrent was something was born. They were in pain. They were going through, they got more hard work now. They couldn't think about it. But they wanted to change. And yet they couldn't listen. The Eichish Meini Paroi. Paro, how could he listen to me? He has a bigger deterrent. He has his Ratzon to remain who he is. They wanted to change, but they didn't listen just because of Ruach. But Eichish Meini Paroi. How would Paro listen to me? The Kal Vachomer. You know why? Because Paro's the biggest deterrent. He's Paroi. He's leading a nation. He's a leader. He's a pharaoh. He doesn't want to be a street cleaner. He doesn't want to do the Ratzon Hashem. He wants to be a pharaoh. The Eichish Meini Paroi. It's not possible Paro's going to listen to me if they didn't listen to me and they want. Yisoy Rabbeisai is so powerful. Because if you go around every day, you go around the world, in your lives, our daily lives, we see Hashem. We see Hashem so many times in our lives, Rabbeisai. So many Hashkocha Pratis stories that we have, we don't have to go through them. We can write books on Hashkocha Pratis, Rabbeisai. Maybe it's time for a different shmur. Hashkocha Pratis, Rabbeisai. We're going down the block. All of a sudden we need a certain thing. And there it is, this guy meets up with it. Oh, why not come with me? He said, what? What's this guy doing and how did he get here? The Baruch Hashem just gave you a kiss on the cheek. He gave you a kiss. You had to go somewhere, you had to meet somebody, and there he is, Rabbeisai. Unbelievable. I tell the story, I remember back when I was first married, Rabbeisai. I coming to Eretz Yisrael, and I had like five suitcases, like six suitcases. We were coming back, my wife, after we first got, we were married for 6 months, and we went to America, for Chasa, our brother, and Maiso, we came back with a whole bunch of suitcases. And we came to the airport, it was an airline, it's called TWA then, Rabbeisai. TWA. And, I don't know if it's around today, I don't think it's around. That's how good the airline. No. Anyway, the Maisa, but we go TWA, the cheaper flight. And we got to the thing. We were two people. We had at least six or seven plus a microwave that we just bought. Not a microwave, a toaster oven that's in the kitchen. I think. No, I think anyway, the toaster oven. We had a total new toaster oven. My wife and I said we were took the whole day. How are we going to do this? We have six or seven bags. We can't. How are we going to get on the plane? They're going to charge us for each bag, you know, a certain amount of money. I didn't have any money on me. Any dollars on me, nothing. And I'm going to do this. I said, Beis Hashem, what can we do? We're trying to go, we need this stuff. And I said, well, we'll be having Siyat Hashmai. We get there, and they go over. Not only did I have six bags, but they were, you know, when you come back from America, and you're coming back with stuff, they were gesund, as they say. They were overweight, in other words, English. Very overweight. We get onto the thing, and I'm trying to talk to them. I told my wife, talk to the guy. How's life, sir? You know, this big black guy. Remember, I'll never forget that he had his red coat on. He's sitting there, and we put the first thing on. Scale broke. They had to call the thing to fix the scale. That's how I was overweight. And he says, how many bags do you have? Well, we have six bags. Six bags, two people. Every bag is extra bag. It'll be $89. Oh, for the whole thing? No, each bag, $89. He kept saying that. I said, sir, you know, we're traveling back to Israel, and we need to have a new couple, this and that. $89. Not a penny less. But not only that, the overweight also, $89. So I told my wife, and when we came before that, we should bring a duffel bag. You know, we had this old duffel bag. I don't know, we got it from where we were staying. It's an old, like, army duffel bag. Everybody remember the old ones. We had like, these holes on the top. And you put a rope to it. So we had this old duffel bag. So I told my wife, you know what, let's just take everything out and get these bags on. Get the two bags on. Oh, wait, we'll worry about the duffel bag afterwards with the other bag. Gets it with stuff in. You know, there it is, my underwear, everything, socks. So we're pulling it out, throwing it in. And Baruch Hashem, we got the two bags, you know. All the bags, I guess. We got them under the thing. We put the two bags on. I was trying to put more. Sir, two bags. $89 for the rest. Maybe we got four bags over here. It could be we got four, two each. And then we had two or three others besides the doubles. We had four bags. So I'm waiting there. I said, I don't have $89 each bag. So I said, you know what, we'll see. Kitzer, guy all of a sudden comes with no bags. It was like mamish, like a half, like an hour before the flight. The guy came with like towards the left with no bags. And Rabbi Isaac said, sir, you do me a favor, no problem. He took two of my bags, went on, got those two on. I had the microwave and I had the duffel bag. Kitzer, all of a sudden I'm waiting, it's getting very late. You know, sir, you better start cutting the thing. He said, yeah, but I got it. Kids, all of a sudden, a guy comes with one bag. He said, you take my microwave? No problem. The only problem we had the duffel rubber. There was a very small problem with the duffel rubber. So we didn't realize the duffel was. Someone said, I'll give you a duffel. We opened up and had the top, like I said. But we didn't have a rope. It was just, you know, so what are you going to do now? The duffel bag's, you know, full. The top is closed. The birds are, I never forget the scene. I looked down. Maybe it was at the beginning when I was looking. I looked down on the ground. Telling the story of the mice as it was, not a story that happened with some cousin, third cousin, met a mailman who told him a story. He heard it from a dog who heard it from the fish in Muncie. I'm not telling you the story of myself. Fish me pee fish. Not the story of that. Telling the story that happened with me. I looked down on the ground after packing that duffel bag, and there was a rope there of a side. I don't know how it got there. I don't know when it was from. There was a rope. But it wasn't just a rope. It was a rope that fit around the duffel exactly to the T, how much I needed. You asked me where I come down. I'm not dreaming. I didn't have it hit my head or anything. The rope was there on the ground. I took the rope. I put it through the duffel exactly around. Tied the duffel. But I'm stuck. Dum, 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 dum. Here comes Mr. Schmaltering. Next guy comes over, the last guy, I think they were playing, they were about to take me. They said, if you don't go over there, he had no bags also. Can you take my duffel? No problem. And I walked by the guy and I said, have a nice day, sir. He was furious. He thought he should make like $400-$500 on me. No dollars. $0 I paid him myself. But that rope came Shemayim. So you see a mice like that, but we have in our daily lives stories upon stories. When I was in Torah Oro, there was a great mashkiach from Zeno Epstein. He used to give out these little books. Mashkiach brought this pair of books. And he used to say that the Oilam should take out every day, write down your Mashkiach Pratis stories. It was for two reasons. First of all, you come in mind. The second of all, you're having a hard day, you take out the book, you see Hashem Lozen. You look at last week, I went on a bus, I met a guy who knew this certain type of thing that I was looking for, a pint that I was looking for, this, or whatever it was. And all of a sudden I met him, and there was no chanting. What was he doing on that bus? You write down certain stories of us. I remember after I started, that was a story I wrote it down. But the kids are, you write down the stories, you write down different Hashkacha Pratis that you have in your life, Rabbi Zai. First of all, you get tremendous chizik. It's a kiss from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are the chances somebody sees these stories? What are the chances? It's like nothing, it's like zero. What are the chances of a rope exactly with my double bag at the airport over there waiting for when I look down on the ground, there it was. What are the chances? But the mice, you have it the time and time, certain things that are unbelievable. You go out of your mind. They had, even the Goyim put out a book. I forgot, a Yiddish lady put out a book. But from the Goyim, what's it called? From Halberstam. It was a book that came out many years ago. You don't see these stories, unbelievable. Like, and there's a famous book they put out with stories in Hashkacha Pratis. What? No, but it's in English. It's written for English people. And the stories are, he was written a wedding ring, and a wing fell through the window. Like, crazy stories about Hashkacha Pratis. The kids are, I'm just saying, you write down your own, but your own personal life, you don't have to hear. You write down your own personal life, your Hashkacha Pratis story about that. You see, they put in Kamani Kharag, I'm running the world about that. So you get tremendous skills with that, but more than that, you become an Emerson Maimon. That's what the world is created. The guy's born wants that Amuna, but I don't want to be talking. Now it's just to know it's true. We all behave, Hashem, we all know it's true. We all know it's right. But to live with it. And what comes from that? What came in us? We learn all night, day to night. We learn about what does that do? How does that change the person? The person becomes connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He believes in all his heart. He believes in his heart. Once he believes in his heart, he's ready to change, I say. Until it gets to the heart, he's not going to change. And change meaning more devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I know it's true, and I believe it's true, and I live that it's true, so I want to do the truth, I want to cover his mitzvahs, I want to do the right thing, I want to follow the Torah, Rabbi Yisrael. From Aseres HaMamor, Hashem created the world, to Aseres HaMakos, that taught us that he runs the world, to Aseres HaDibros, to do the Kabbalah Torah, Rabbi Yisrael. That's the prelude to Kabbalah Satorah, Seres Hamako, Yitzchias Yitzchai. We should be Zoyim for the Eiz Hashem Yisborach. The Eiz Hashem Yisborach, especially in Eretz Yisrael, the Chazal say, Eretz Asher Eini Alkecha Bo, Ashkocha Produs, Eretz Yisrael is a different Ashkocha Produs, Bo Yisrael. Look for it, look for the kisses every few minutes, every few times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going out, just happened this, just happened that. And realize that He's running the world, He's in charge. Anytime we're going through a difficult moment that we know we don't have to worry, because Bo's in charge. And what He wants is going to happen at the end, no matter what you believe and what you want, that's what's going to happen. And then, Be'ez Hashem, we make the commitment, the true commitment to change of ourselves. That's the most difficult part. But the more you believe, and the more you ingrain yourself and put into yourself the emunah, and it really seeps down, v'yadat ha'yom v'ashivoysel ovel, comes to the heart. And Be'ez Hashem will change for the good, become more steeped in Avodas Hashem, become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'schus ha'amunah, v'nigal, b'korah, v'hev, y'ameinu, amen.